good? I need to take care of some business here real quick. Steve and Sandy, would you come up here real quick? If you don't mind, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but you come forward. I'm going to minister to you, if that's okay. Just stand side by side up here. You know, the Lord recently has been dealing with me about you guys in a very supernatural way, in good things. And had really impressed it upon my heart before the service. I knew that I was going to do this. I didn't know when during the service, but during worship, I knew I was to take care of it before the service. But he told me to tell you this, and pay attention to these words because they're good. Praise God. He said this. He said, if they'll stay faithful, so it all depends on you staying faithful, which I know that won't be a problem with you too. But he said to let you know this, if you stay faithful, you're going to walk into wealth that you never could have imagined or thought could come your way. So praise God. That's exciting. And you know, the Bible says that God is the God of Ephesians 3:20, that he can do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think. And that's what I want to get a part to you, not just the wealth of just being faithful in the sense of, you know, just prospering and increasing as you know God. I'm talking about wealth, he said, that you could never imagine, or that wealth that you couldn't think of for yourself. So it will come to pass in Jesus' name. Father, bless him in the name of Jesus. Father, bless her in the name of Jesus. Bless her. Hallelujah. And it'll come to pass. And it'll come to pass. And you'll be a testimony. And you'll be evident. You'll be a light of faithfulness, and that the plan of God works, praise God. And it'll be evident to all, praise the Lord. So be it in Jesus' name. Thank you both. Hallelujah. It'll happen. It'll happen. Praise God. Now you might all be sitting there thinking, I wish that was me. Well, you know what? The Bible says that a faithful man will abound in blessings, praise God. And so it can be all of you in abounding in blessings, praise God. But the Lord has supernaturally been dealing with me about them in my prayer time and in my personal time. And so I wanted to minister that to him. So I can't wait to see what he's got. Praise God. Well, anyways, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. You know, all of you should just jump right on with that word and just claim it for yourselves as well. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says he's the God that can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Start saying that over your finances. Father, I thank you for blessing in my finances above what I could even expect to happen. And it will. Mark chapter 4. Let's pray before we get in the word. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful that we get to come here tonight and be a part of this, Father. This is an event to me, Father. It's not just a regular Wednesday night service and just something that we do. This is big stuff to me, Father, to be in your presence. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy and for all that you've done for us. Speak through me tonight, Father, that my words may not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we'll give you the praise for everything said and done here tonight, Father. And we love you, we glorify you. Thank you for our help in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if sometimes when I minister to people, you can kind of hear a little crackle in my voice. You know, Paul said this. He said, I came to you in fear and in trembling. He didn't mean that he was afraid, but such reverence. You know, when God deals with me about people and supernatural things, it just humbles me so much that it just takes me a while to catch back up. So praise God, just to be used and to see what they're going to walk into, and just I'm excited about. And people are praying for utterance, and people are praying for the gifts of the Spirit to move. And you know what that is? That was a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is when the Lord will give you something. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's when he gives you something about somebody's future. And we covet those things. Hallelujah. We covet those things. So Mark chapter 4, let's get going here. In verse 14, of course, we started this a week ago before, well, 2 weeks ago, and then we had a week off. And we're talking about the parable of the sower. And if you're interested in growing as and bearing much fruit, which the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that you would bear much fruit. If you're interested in your Father being glorified, if you're interested in you bearing fruit for yourself, which will be a blessing, but also the people that will partake of the fruit that you'll bear, then this series is for you. Praise God. If you're interested in just staying the same old yourself, then if you want to, you can go right now. Praise God. But I figure you already came out. You might as well stay and learn about it. So let's take a look at what the word says in Mark 4 and verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit some 30, 60, and 100-fold. And just a real quick review of the first night, not to rehash everything, just to kind of give you an overview of what this whole thing's about. This is talking about the sower sows the word. We know that's my job, to sow the word of God. And that's one of my main things besides prayers, the sowing and the attention to the word. But then the Bible tells us that the word falls on different types of ground, talking about people. And we see in this here that there's four types of ground. Three out of the four didn't get anything out of the word. We saw that's alarming to me. And one out of four got something out of the word. And then even in that category, they got it at different levels. Some got it at 30-fold. Some got it at 60. Some got it at 100. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to shoot to be in the 1/4. And then in the top of the 1/4, the 100-fold. And so we're going to take a look over the next few weeks at the different grounds. And let's just be correctable. Amen. You know, that's one of the things that I can see that can catapult people into God's plan or can hinder people from God's plan is whether or not they're correctable or whether or not they're just stubborn and think they know it all. Well, here's the thing. If you don't think if you're not a teachable person or a correctable person, then you're just saying that you're perfect and that you're Jesus. Well, we already know you're not. So don't try to pretend that you are. Just praise the Lord. Just be correctable. And so, but also don't correct yourself through condemnation. If you see something in these grounds, you can say, you know what, my life does look like that, and it's hindering me from bearing the fruit that I need to. Just tweak it. Just make the adjustment. Amen? Nobody's pointing the finger at you, or there's no spiritual arrow that's coming over your head saying, they're talking about this person right here. So praise the Lord, we see this. And what's interesting about this is that the main focus of this is the Word of God. The sower sows the Word. Now, we know the Word is incorruptible seed. That the word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that the word changes lives, that the word has power to it. And so we know it's not the seed's fault. We know that it's the where the seed falls that's the problem. And so the ground represents people, but what's interesting is all four heard the same exact word, only 1/4 got anything out of it. But here's the good news is that it's up to you what ground you're on. I was... Our driveway is a long dirt driveway, and right now there's still some patches on it that are pretty icy, and then there's some that's kind of slushy, and then on the side of it, it's the grass is starting to show. And I had Abby outside the other day. She'd be 2 the end of this month, and she was walking on it just fine, but then, you know, she got to a part where she didn't like how it felt under her feet. And when she gets like whiny, she puts her head like this and just points and goes, ah. Like, and I'm seeing her walk. And I know she didn't like how it fell on her feet. I'm thinking, if you don't like how that ground feels, just take a step and get off of it. Praise the Lord. Just go away, you know. And so we determine what ground we're in. If we see this, we're like, wow, I'm the wayside. I'm the bad ground. Well, then step out of that ground. Step out of that ground and into the good ground. And don't whine about it. Don't be happy. She's allowed to whine. She's 2. Now, we try to tell her to stop whining, but she can whine a little bit more than we should be able to whine, you know? Praise the Lord. And so just step outside of that ground. And of course, we don't want to be the ground that isn't even mentioned, which is the ones that don't hear it at all. And you're not in that ground because you're here. Praise the Lord. And so it's up to you what ground you'll be. It all will depend on what you do with the Word of God. What you do with the word will determine the fruit and the harvest. Not what your spouse does, not what your pastor does, not what your mom or dad does, not what grandma or grandpa does. What you do with the word will determine your harvest in life. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. I love the kingdom of God. It's fair game. It's fair game. You know, women can be just as blessed as men. Men can be just as blessed as women. Kids can be just as, you know, as grandparents. I mean, it's just fair ground. What you do with the Word of God determines your blessing. I love that kind of stuff. You know, it's fair. Praise God. And so we're going to look at the different grounds tonight. We're going to look at the first ground that's mentioned, which is the wayside. And let's read that here in verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, notice this, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away that was sown in their heart. So we see right out off the bat what the devil's goal is. If he can remove the word, he can remove the fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit's the blessing. If he can get the word out of your life, then he's won, praise God. And we see in this one that he's kind of, you know, unveiled a lot for who he is. Remember, been talking about authority and the fact that he can't just do anything he wants to you. We've seen that in these past 4 weeks on Sunday. Well, we can see that if he can get you to do the wrong thing with the word, then he's got an advantage on you. And so he immediately comes to remove the word out of your life. So the goal for him is to attack the word of God. Yes. Well, I know this, that, you know, when, think about it, when the guy's going to armored, I don't even know what the word is, when they're going to the banks and they have all the money in the trucks and they're carrying it in. Yeah, what's it called? Armored truck, yeah. And they're carrying it in. Well, that money's not just casually in the guy, people's hands and hanging out of their pockets and stuffed in their pockets and in their back pockets and it's falling out. No, it's in a locked thing with armor or, you know, armed guards, right? Being very careful to, because why? They know that it's valuable. They know it's important. And so if the devil is trying to get the word out of our lives because he knows that's a thing, then we better protect it. Then we better fight for the word. We better make sure that we make it a priority in our lives, that the word has place in our life, has value in our lives. Because he's trying to steal the word out of your life. And so we better make sure. Now, but here's what I want you to see. We've talked about this a lot before, and I don't feel bad about saying it again. Paul said this, he said, "It's not grievous for me to write to you the same things, for in doing so you stay safe." I know this, we live on a busy road. We live in the country. But we live on a road that's 55 miles an hour, and oftentimes people are going a lot faster than that. And I know this, that playing outside, I didn't just tell Caleb one time, stay away from the road, and he got it. Right. No, over and over, every time we're outside, you don't go past this tree on this driveway. If you do, there's going to be trouble. I don't tell him just one time, right? Because it's important to me. So the things that are said over and over and over again are because there's great importance on them. There's great weight on them. And real quick, we're going to just look at two things tonight in the wayside ground. Since the devil's trying to get the word out of your life, he's not just trying to get just the word out of your life. He's trying to get the sown word out of your life. Because there's a lot of people that I know personally, unfortunately, who are struggling, whose lives are a mess, who spend time with the word in the privacy of their own home. But see, it's not just the word in the privacy of your own home that will cut it. We're talking in context here. The sower sows the word that is sown on your life. And so we need to understand the sown word's importance in our life. When we understand the importance or have the revelation of the sown word into our lives, Wednesday night service and midweek services don't become a problem anymore. Special guest ministers don't become a problem anymore. Being faithful to come to church on Sunday, when you have the revelation of the sown word, it doesn't become a problem. You understand it's important. I have yet to just go, you know, except on special days when you're setting aside, you know, to fast, to wake up and just, well, you know what? I'm just not going to eat today. No, you make it a point. We schedule our life around it. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Because it's important to us. We have to get it for sustenance. We have to get it for nourishment, praise God. And so because you understand that, you make it a point to have dinner. You make it a point to send your kids to school with lunch. You make it a point before your kids leave or before you go out for the day, maybe you grab something to eat. Or, you know, you get a little weak during the day and then you got to stop and get something. Why? It's important. Praise God. So the sown word is important. You need to protect it. You need to fight for it. And you need to avail yourself to the sown word. And again, Pastor, you talk about this all the time and being there. Well, it's because it's important. It's very important that you hear this over and over and over and over and over again. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. I want to show you the importance of the sown word. There are a lot of people, and it's unfortunate, it's a doctrine of devil, and a doctrine of the devil is anything that's contrary to the Bible that's being taught. That you know what, you can just do this on your own, that if you got the Word of God, You know, that's all you need. Well, look at this in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 5, it says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? Well, then he goes on and Paul goes on and defines who they are. Ministers. Well, ministers of what? The word. They minister the word, or they serve the word to you. Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've never seen that before, Lord, but that's good. Notice this. They couldn't even believe without a minister sowing the word into their life. They came into the revelation of Jesus because of the sown word. The sown word was so important in their lives that they escaped hell because of it. He said, but ministers by whom you believed. You only believed because of the ministers that sowed into your life. Well, that goes not only just for salvation, that goes across the board for all the promises of God. He says, ministers to whom you believed. Now notice this, even as the Lord gave to every man. God's given every man, talking about mankind, not just men, women included, somebody to minister the word into their life. But it's unfortunate that God gives that to every man. But God gives it to every man, but not every man avails themselves to what God has given them. Yeah, it's true. It's unfortunate, but it's true. You know, I think about, you know, I remember my cousin moved in with us when she was in her senior year. And she grew up, you know, and just, you know, had it tough a lot of ways and just was very shy and different things. And I can't tell you how long it took me to get it through her head. I mean, it was months. You don't have to ask me to go get a drink of water in this house. You don't have to ask me to go to the refrigerator to get something. You live here. What we have is ours. And just how many times she went without because she just didn't understand that it was hers for the taking. It was hers for the taking. And the Lord has given it to every man, the sown word. But so many people don't just take what God's given them. They fight against it. Let's not fight against the blessing. It's a blessing getting the sower. But anyways, I want to go forward here. He says, verse 6, I have planted, who? The minister. Apollos watered that seed, the minister. But then God gave the increase. So God does have a part in it. It can be you and God. But you can't expect the increase without the planting and the watering. And who does the planting and the watering? You can't plant and water yourselves. If we could, the Bible would tell us we could do that. We could save time, save money on the lights and on the you know, the Nanoco bill out there and all the different things, the gas to come here and all, you know, save on the tithes and the offerings. We could just do it at home. But he said, we like the increase. We want to get to that part of it. Just like when sowing and reaping, we all, I love that. There's one song by this Christian group called Tree 63, and it's talking about the quandary that you have where the things you want to do, but yet you don't do the right things. And he says, I don't want to sow, I just want to reap. And that's the way a lot of people are. I want to reap, but I don't want to go through the process to get to the reaping. I want the increase, but I don't want to go through the process of being planted and being watered. Yeah. And so if we want to get to the increase, we got to go through the planting and the watering. So he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God can't just increase it without the planting and the watering. By you sitting yourself under the sown word of a minister, you're giving God something to work with to increase into your life. It's kind of like the tithe. You know, a lot of people will maybe take the approach of the tithe. It says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? You say, where have we robbed you, Lord? In tithes and offerings. And it's true, you are robbing God and the kingdom of God from the blessings. When people don't bring their tithes, it does rob the kingdom because we can't do as much without the finances. But I also like to look at it from the faith standpoint that I'm robbing God the opportunity to do what he has said he'll do from the process of tithes and offerings. I'm robbing God the ability to do that. And when you sit yourselves under the sown word, you're giving God the opportunity to increase you. You're giving him something to work with. Hallelujah. Absolutely. The sown word's importance. And he goes on in verse 7 and says, so neither is he that plants anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. And he says in verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry. That's a little blind to us in the King James, but that means you are God's garden. You are God's garden. You are God's building. Well, if you're God's garden, for any of you that have garden, have plants, have flowers, they need to be watered to grow. And if you're God's garden, and if you're going to increase in God's garden, the only way that's going to happen is by being watered, being planted right. And he tells us how that happens, through a minister. Sowing, sowing, sowing. And people say, well, of course you're going to say that. You're a pastor, and you want people at church. Absolutely, you're right. That's what the Word says. I love it. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. There's a gentleman that goes to Pastor Tim's church named Jeff Trussler. And I hunted with him growing up. He was a few years older than me. He's the guy that I saw fall out of the tree and break his arm, and I almost puked. Oh, my gosh, it was the most horrible thing I ever saw in my life. And my dad was such a jokester. You know, he was picking on him even when that. I mean, the guy was about ready to keel over. He's white as a ghost, and my dad's picking on him. I just, oh, I had to stop hunting that day. But anyways, he had got off track in life. I mean, hardcore addictions, alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs. And I'm only sharing this about him in his name because he's gone public with this and has given me permission, you know. I actually got to lead him to get filled with the Holy Ghost on some property a couple years ago. And I had heard that he had gone off into some, gotten really bad off. And I just knew that when his name come up that things were not good for him. And I went to a Dr. Dufresne meeting probably 3 years ago now at Pastor Tim's church. And I saw him there. Wow. And I'm not kidding you, I almost fell over. Like literally was so shocked to see him in church because I knew about his past and what he had gotten into. And at that time when I talked to him, he was still real shaky. He was still real, you could tell he was still dependent on a lot of those things, but he was making progress in the right way. And we got to talking, and then we got together, and that's when he got filled with the Holy Ghost a few years ago. And now I think he graduated this year from MTC, the ministry training school that they have up there. And he is like instrumental in starting the Mayville church. He's instrumental in starting the church in Buffalo. And now he's helping start the church that Jamestown's starting in Erie. He's very good carpentry and different things like that. He's got a call in his life, and he's just doing so wonderful. I mean, completely off of smoking, off of drinking, off the pills. He is completely sober in every area, on fire for God, serving God, an usher at the church, and highly trusted by his pastor. I mean, in a few years. And I was talking to him, and his testimony was so amazing because it's so hard for me to understand how smart this is because you don't hear it so much from so many people. And he said, I said, what do you attribute this to? I mean, I know you're in church and the power of God. I said, how did this even come about? And he said, well, I was just frustrated and I was walking down the country road next to where I live and just mad at the world, mad at life and everything. And things were terrible for me with a girlfriend and a daughter that he had. It just was not going good for him. You know, the devil just wants to squash you in every area. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And he didn't know, and he was just taking what the devil threw his way. And he said, I'd walked down that road mad, and I saw a pile of newspapers that someone had chucked out the window when they were driving. And he said, that would make me so mad. You know, why can't people just keep their garbage in their car? Why? And he just got mad. He said, about the third or fourth night, when he saw that, he said, I'm sick of seeing it. I'm going to go pick it up and throw it away. Nobody else is doing it. Well, he picked it up, and there were Bible verses on the newspaper. Isn't that amazing? Well, the Bible says that the Word is powerful. The Word's powerful anywhere. And he began to read it, and something came alive on the inside of him. Now, this is what amazed me. He said, when he read it, he could tell something was different, that there was life in what he was reading. And for 2 years, he got in-depth studying in the Bible. Now, we're talking about an alcoholic, a certified drug addict who is just completely messed up in mind and body. But he starts studying the Word of God for 2 years, and he said to me, Pastor Mike, at the end of 2 years, I realized one thing in the Bible. If I'm going to get to where I need to be, I can't do this alone. I need a pastor. That the Bible points to over and over again, that there's people out there put in your life to sow the Word in your life. And he came, and I don't know if he looked in the paper and saw Pastor Tim's church, but whatever. He found it and got to church and is faithful. Doesn't miss any meeting, and such a turnaround. His whole life has changed because he came to the realization that if I'm going to get increase, I need to be sown and planted upon. Isn't that amazing? Well, like we said earlier in the announcements, God gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, if you know anything about Brother Hagin and studying those ministry gifts, those are ministry gifts, the first job and the first order of business for every one of the ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, the thing that marks every single one of them is that they are preachers and teachers of God's word. Yes, they all have different attributes and different gifts that they bring to the body, but the main thing that runs through them all, the common thread, is that they're preachers and teachers of the word. So those gifts, God gave gifts unto men that they sow, what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God gave ministers to every man. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 9. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, a Wednesday night service, and you're here. Praise the Lord. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Praise God. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. One translation says he had pity on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. One translation says they were dejected, harassed, and bewildered. They were like sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus is saying, well, first of all, notice the condition of the people with no shepherd going around healing the sickness and diseases among the people. They were sick, scattered, and faint because they had no shepherd. Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus said, I have pity on them. Remember Mr. T, the A-team with the mohawk and the gold chains? I pity you, fool. That's what Jesus was saying in a nicer way. I pity you. You don't have a pastor or a shepherd whose main job is to sow the word into your life. And it's just amazing to me that people will fight against this. I've had conversations with people that are just absolutely struggling in life. I mean, getting beat up left and right over and over again. And I'll maybe see them once every 4 or 5 weeks. And to me, I don't understand how you don't understand that 1 + 1 = 2. That there's an easy easy relation here to figure out why this is happening. And I don't understand it. And so I remember one time I simply made the comment to somebody. I said, well, they're telling me doubt and unbelief just being spewed out of their mouth. I mean, they got a chip on their shoulder. They're agitated. They're angry. They're upset. They're full of doubt and unbelief. And I said, when you can be here, talking about church, when you can be here, make sure you're here. You know what they said to me? Well, when I'm out of town, I'm out of town. And I thought to myself, well, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you how it will work different for you. And if you enjoy the benefits of why you're out of town, it wasn't work related. It wasn't because of emergencies and being forced. Just choose to that when weekends come, I'm just not going to come to church. That's my time to get away and do my own thing. Well, that's fine if you're okay with the reaping that you'll get from that. Right? Like people will speak, sometimes the devil will bombard me about being so adamant about, you know, really encouraging people to be here on Wednesdays, really encouraging people to go to the services in Fredonia or Jamestown. And, you know, once we get our new sanctuary, and notice I said, once we get our new sanctuary, we'll start having the ministers in our church. But the problem is now we got to keep it secret, because if it got out, the Fredonia and the Jamestown crew would run us. We'd have to all show up in LA to beat all them, praise the Lord. So we need a bigger place to house everybody. So we'll have them in our own backyard too. But the reason, and I'll get bombarded in my mind, well, you know, people work all day. Well, you know, people have to drive and it'll be out late. But see, that all that stuff doesn't even compare to the blessing that you get for availing yourselves to that. It's true, and I don't know what the other option would be for me to stand up here and say, you know, be here just when you can. Just, you know, do what you want to do. And, you know, if it's convenient for you, come. If it's not, you know, just, you know, don't worry about having your kids here. Don't worry about you being here. You know, I know you're tired. And I understand it. If I were to do that, I'd be doing you a disservice. Yeah. Absolutely. And people get agitated and they get upset about it. Well, if you're okay with what golf will bring you on Sunday mornings over the top of what the word will bring you, then you do that, right? But then don't come crying to me when I see you once every 6 weeks and Satan is running your life, ruining your life, and having all, because you're not, see, if you don't avail yourself to the sown word, you're not qualified for increase. You disqualify yourself for increase. And we're not talking about vacations. And we're not talking about the occasional missing church. We're talking about the attitude of once every 5-6 weeks and just take it or leave it mentality. So don't let the devil get you into religion that, oh gosh, I took a vacation, pastor's talking about me. That's stupid. You know, that's dumb. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the attitude of the casualness towards the putting yourself under the sown word. So it's just amazing to me the condition of the sheep that had no shepherd. They were sick. They were faint. They scattered abroad, sheep having no shepherd. So we need to make sure to avail ourselves to the sown word. I want to show you real quick. We're going to go real fast through these and get to point number 2. Joshua 1 and verse 8, just showing you the importance of the word. We've looked at these before, but I don't care. We're looking at them again. I never go, oh my gosh, I got to tell Caleb again not to go out in front of a car and get smushed. Nope, I'm always like, buddy, don't you go out there. I know, Dad. I don't care if you know. Now you know double. It doesn't matter to me that you know. Now you extra know. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law, talking about the word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. 6 times you're mentioned to do something in that verse. God's not mentioned 1 time. Prayer's not mentioned 1 time. And the 6 times you're mentioned to do something is to do something with the Word of God. Your good success and your prosperity depends on what you do with the Word of God. What you do with the Word of God. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. I told you we're just going through these real quick. Not going to take a whole lot of time on them. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Well, I'm just too tired to go to church. Oh, stop. Oh, stop. If it was some hobby that you love to do, you'd get awake real fast. I know. This is the Wednesday night crew. You could say anything to the Wednesday night crew. You're not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. You're stuck. Praise God. If you're coming out on a Wednesday night, it's just the truth. Oh, it's just the truth. I'm just too tired to come to church. Well, how's that going to fly when you're standing in front of Jesus who has holes in his hands, holes in his feet, scar in his side, crown of thorns, the scars on his head, and you say, Jesus, I was just too tired. Yeah. He gave gifts unto men. The sown word, the people that are sowing it, are gifts from your heavenly Father. Not gifts. Don't call me your pastor if you're in my church once every 5 or 6 weeks. I'm not your pastor. You might ease your mind to say, yeah, I got a pastor. No, you don't. If you don't avail yourself to the word, you don't have a pastor. And what you're saying is, Jesus, I'm just too tired. I know you died on the cross for me, and I know you took the holes in your hands and the holes in your feet and the sword in your side and the crown of thorns on your head, and I know you were beaten to a bloody pulp so that you could give me gifts, but I just want you to know I was too tired, I had stuff going on. I don't think that's going to fly in front of him. And that, like my pastor says, it's better to hear it from me than him. Yeah. I'll be embarrassed to stand in front of him. And again, we're not talking about the occasional or the outlier. There's always outliers and there's always examples that are okay. You understand? Yeah. We're not talking about, okay, I wasn't in every single service in the whole year. Now, it'd be good to shoot for that. But we understand people go out of town, people do things. That's okay. God doesn't have a problem with that. Praise God. We're not talking about the exception to the rule, right? So don't let the devil twist you or get mad at your pastor telling you. It's like the one family that went to a funeral. They don't even live around here anymore. They're gone a few years ago. Went to a funeral and I sent them money, I sent them flowers and really set them up. It was a funeral down south and called and did some research on where they were staying and really helped them out. They sent me a thank you card. They were very thankful. The very next week they're in church. And like always, I always mention church attendance. I mean, it almost comes up all the time because it's that important. And we were over in the other building when there was maybe 15 people. Now, who the heck am I going to look at? I'm going to look at everybody. Well, I just happened to look at them when I said the thing about church attendance. Well, the next week they weren't there. And the next week they weren't there. And the next week they weren't there. And I got concerned. And, you know, I don't like to lord over people's lives and be a pesky pastor and bother people, but I cared about them, so I called. And they said, you mentioned something when we came back from church about church attendance, and you looked right at us. You were mad that we went to our family member's funeral. I said, that's the dumbest thing. I said, you know, and I didn't know at the time. I said, you know that's not true. I mean, I just common sense knew that if I'm supporting them, and what good pastor would be upset that somebody would go out of town for a funeral? And the Holy Ghost, praise God, said to me, they can't stand it, you talk about tithing. And I had just got done saying, you know that's not true. And I said, who am I supposed to look at? There's hardly anybody in the church. I got to look at somebody. I don't want to preach at the ceiling and think I'm a weirdo. And the Holy Ghost said, they can't stand you talk about tithing. I said, let me ask you a question. You can't stand that I talk about tithing, can you? And she said, we can't stand it. I don't mean this to be rude. And if you're in this position, we're believing God for increase for you. But they were poorer than poor can be. Well, I wonder why they were poorer than poor can be. They wanted nothing to do with the help that God was giving them through their pastor to bring them out of poverty. Yeah, they wanted nothing to do with that message. But it's just interesting with the church attendance and different things, how it comes up, and we're going to just keep preaching on it and keep hammering and keep hammering and keep hammering on it because it's that important. My son, attend to my words, Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice he said, attend to my words. Yes. Attend to my words. Right. You can't have the rest of this until you have good attendance to the word. Right. Well, you have good attendance tonight. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And it goes on and tells you what the sword is, which is the Word of God. Amen. The only piece of offensive equipment that's given to us in the armor of God is the sword. And what is it? It's the Word. Why do you think the devil comes to take the Word out of people's lives? Because then he takes their weapon. Yeah, so many people come up in battle. I mean, again, if this is you that I'm talking about, we're not going to call you out. I wouldn't know it if it was. But I can tell you that there are lots of people that are faithful in church that when going through a sickness or going through a financial test and trial, if I were to seriously come up and ask them, what verses are you standing on? What sword are you cutting that thing down with? They wouldn't have anything to say. They don't know any healing scriptures. They don't know any financial scriptures. They don't know anything about authority. They don't know anything about peace in their mind. Why? They haven't taken time and valued the Word of God. But why does the Bible say the devil comes immediately to snatch the Word out? Because that's your weapon. Amen. That's your weapon. That's your weapon. Hallelujah. And if the increase comes from the supernatural sowing, see, what's happening right now seems common. There's not, and again, I'm not trying to humiliate myself or to be self-deprecating, but there's really nothing naturally special about me. I mean, I'm short. I got gray hair. I'm a little stocky. Maybe call me chubby, whatever you want to call me. And I'm just doing this. We do this every week. Nothing really grand about our building. Nothing really grand in the sense of, you know, compare like South Dayton to maybe a big city and they got all the big buildings and things like that. It just looks like a normal country town. So on the surface, it doesn't seem like much is going on, but what's happening right now is supernatural. Supernatural. The Word of God is being sown to you by a gift that God has given you with an anointing on their life to sow for you to supernaturally increase. Yeah. It's supernatural what's happening right now. And the devil tries to steal that from people. Because if he can steal that, because that increase comes from that super... Why do you think there's increase? Even though it seems like nothing's happening, planting and watering has happened right now. Planting and watering is happening right now. That's why I tell people that are struggling. And I loved it when Dr. Webb, if you were at those meetings, when he was talking about just reading the Bible. Even if you don't understand it, just read it. It's still the Word of God. You're still watering yourself. You know, people that don't know much about the Word and don't know much about church, just get them under the watering of the Word and they'll start to grow. And they'll start to grow. Just get them here. Just get them here. Just get them here. One person said this. They got offended. They got mad. They didn't get mad and offended at me. They had someone in their family that was struggling mightily. And they had left the church, and this is the reason why they left. They left the church. They said, because all we keep hearing about is that we need to be in church. Well, duh. Yeah. That's where the watering takes place. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine a flower if it could talk? We always have to stand here and just get dumped on here and water. And just, oh, that's dumb. It's so dumb. And so all we hear about is going to church. Yes! That's why you're struggling. You're not being watered. There's no increase. There's no possibility or potential for increase. James 1 and verse 21. And then we'll go on to point 2, and that won't take that long. James 1 and verse 21. Praise God. And here's what's awesome. Here's what's awesome about it. Is that it's not based on a feeling, thank God. Now I know this is going to come as a shock and a surprise to you. But not every time that I've stood behind this pulpit with my smiling face have I felt like doing it. No, I'm going to be completely honest with you. In fact, there's lots of times that I don't feel like getting ready for church, that I don't feel like driving all the way here from Lakewood, that I don't feel like coming early, that I don't feel like doing stuff. But thank God it's not based on a feeling. It's not, and you get watered whether or not you feel it or not. That's what's wonderful about it. Just when you... It's like, remember when I had that cousin, and I use a lot of the examples over and over again because they help us. I believe anyways, they help me. And I had that vision when I was working at the Walkers on the lawnmower of my cousin who was going up a mountain, and she couldn't see that it was coming into the part of the mountain where it's like real cloudy and foggy, you know, and she couldn't see where the peak was. In the spirit, I saw this. And she was so close. I could see it. I could see where she was and where the top of the mountain was. And I knew that just a little bit more effort and she was going to be to the other side of this problem. But in the vision, I saw that she was getting ready to quit and to go back down the mountain because she thought it was never coming. And I stopped the tractor. I think I worked a little bit extra that day, Jim. Just so you know. Stopped the tractor. I think I did. If not, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And I called her up. I said, I don't know. I didn't know what she was going through. I said, are you going through a heavyweight test and trial right now? And she started crying. I said, I just saw in the spirit. It feels like you're going up a mountain that you're never going to get to. And I said, let me ask, are you about to quit? She said, I'm about to give up. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. Keep at it. You're almost there. I saw it. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Hallelujah. And I had asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. You're feeling a little dry, a little weak. I said, what's your prayer and word time like? She said, it's non-existent, Pastor Mike. She wasn't getting the word sown into her. She wasn't around the word, not getting strengthened by the word. And the Holy Ghost gave me an illustration about her parent who has is on dialysis because of kidneys. Now, when somebody's on dialysis, they got to do that dialysis certain times of the day. Doesn't matter if they feel like it. Doesn't matter if it's convenient. If they want to live and be healthy, they'll set the alarm and wake up, or if they're at a store or if they're somewhere, they'll go to the car or do whatever and hook up and do that dialysis regardless of how they feel. And I said, that's what the word and prayer needs to be in your life. Don't wait till you feel like doing it. Imagine, oh, I don't feel like that dialysis. I'm too tired. Wouldn't fly. Wouldn't fly. Same way with the Word of God and coming to church and putting yourself under the sown word. It's not convenient for me to go. Well, it wasn't convenient for Jesus to go to the cross. But He did because it was the right thing to do. Praise the Lord. James 1 and verse 21. See, I'm just trying to strengthen you to realize the importance of it. But let's just face it. Let's be honest. As a church whole, we could do better during guest minister meetings. We absolutely could do better. That's why I'm saying just do something in these next meetings. You have 5 opportunities. Just put yourself. I'm not comfortable going to another church, and I don't think they're as friendly to me. If that's why you're going to church, you have a problem anyways. I could give a rip who's nice to me, who cares about me, who talks to me. I'm not there for them. I'm there for the minister that's sowing into my life. Oh, I've heard all the excuses. All the excuses. You're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it. I loved it. Last night, this was great. I got smacked right in the face, but it was awesome. Tracy, and if she's listening right now, hi Tracy. Tracy and Troy from the Olean Church, super, super faithful, going to be getting married this year, and just really helped us get that off the ground. And I was thanking them last night, and Jake was there as well. And I was saying, and thank you for, it was when everyone else had left, it just came to my heart to thank them. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you. I just appreciate, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being faithful. And she looked at me, she said, Pastor, no offense, I love you, but I don't do it for you. I was like, praise God, that's the right attitude. You're not in it. You're in it for Jesus. You're in it for the... She's like, I do it because I know it's right. She goes, I love you, but I know it's right for myself. I don't want to go to that church. They do things different. Who cares? When all that's said and done, and the greeting time, and walking past people, and being uncomfortable, when the word gets preached, it is solid, and it is life-changing. Hallelujah. yeah, I'm just trying to dispel any stupid thoughts the devil would give you to keep you away from the prophet, to keep you away from the things of God. Glory to God. I'm trying to get to James 1:21, but you won't let me. James 1:21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness." Receive. 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 Put yourself in a place to receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. That's not talking about you going to heaven or hell. This is already written to Christians. What does the Bible say in 3 John verse 2? It says, "Beloved, above all things I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Talking about your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions will depend on whether you prosper financially and whether you prosper physically. Remember we talked about this Sunday where we said, the Word says, "I give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." You'll never be blessed apart from what your mind does. Well, this verse says that the Word will save your mind, which will enable you to walk into these things. Praise God. The Word, the sown Word. Hallelujah. Well, you're ready for point two? It'll be a lot quicker. Now, the Bible says, go back to Mark 4 real quick. So that was the importance of the sown Word and keeping yourself in that place. Mark chapter 4. In verse 15, it says, "And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart." So I wanted to show you Satan's goal is to get the sown word out of your life. But these people heard the word. They had availed themselves to the sown word. So how was Satan able to take the word out of their lives? This verse really doesn't tell us why he could come and get it out of their life. It just tells us that they were wayside, and something about the wayside, he was able to snatch it up quick. Well, thank God the Gospels weren't written by just one person. It was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all had different perspectives, and they all wrote about different things. You know, it'd be like if me and Vinny saw an accident happen and we were told to write a report about that. I might include some things that he might not include. He might not include the color of the vehicles. I might include the color of vehicles. I might not include whether it was a car or truck. He may, or something like that. Same with the Gospels. The harmony of the Gospels is so wonderful. So we know, we can go look at Matthew 13. That tells us exactly why Satan was able to come and take the word from the wayside ones. In Matthew 13, Matthew writes about the parable of the sower, and he includes something in there that Mark didn't. Mark chapter 13 and verse 18. Mark 13 and verse 18. This is how you avoid, or Matthew, I'm sorry, Matthew 13 and verse 18. This is how you avoid being wayside ground. Matthew 13 and verse 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Well, same thing Mark was talking about. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," now notice this, "and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catcheth away the word which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." The way Satan can come and take the word. Now remember, the word is what causes the growth. The word is what causes the increase. The word is the incorruptible supernatural seed. The way he can get that out is when the word is sown into your life and something is sown that you don't understand, he can come snatch it away. And I will tell you, I see this over and over and over again with people. Can I give you a few examples? Many people that come to this church that maybe come out of denominations, that come out of maybe places, I'll just tell you some of the things I've heard. And I know when I went to a church like this back in, let's see, it would have been January of 2002 when I went to Pastor Michael's church for the first time. I remember I was like, oh my gosh, this is a whole new world. I've been in church my whole life and I was never taught any of this stuff. Where has this been? And so I said the same thing that a lot of people tell me now. I've heard things like, "Pastor, in 6 months I've learned more than my 30 years I've been in my other church." Now that's not bragging on me. I'm just preaching the manual. Right? I'm just telling you what the book says. I'm just, the only thing that I'm doing that's good is that I'm sharing this and not something else. So I guess if there's anything to commend me on, thank God I'm sharing the word. But really, how hard is that? I mean, I'm just telling you what it says. And so, but they'll say those things, and I point that out because I don't want you to think that I'm taking the credit for the growth. I'm just telling them something they've never heard. "I've learned more in 6 months and all these things. Where has this been? This is amazing to me. We're learning all this new stuff that I never knew was there." And so one of those things always is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've said this from the pulpit. that the second greatest thing that ever happened to me, besides getting saved, was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Before getting married, before the birth of my children, because without that, all this other stuff wouldn't have happened. Because I'd be powerless, I wouldn't have the revelation of the things that I have from the Spirit of God, and I'll say that and I'll give that endorsement for it. And then I'll give the endorsement that Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, wrote half of the New Testament, two-thirds, said this. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And I'll make the statement to people, that, and I'll show them in the Word where Jesus says, don't leave without the Holy Ghost. You'll be powerless, and you're going to heaven as a Christian without the Holy Ghost, but you're going to be a powerless Christian, and I'll say things like that. And I'll make it a point. And then I'll even go further and say, if you don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, make an appointment with me. Call me on the phone. Let's sit down and look at this. And I'll teach it to you. And nothing ever happens. And I know people don't know, some people don't know a thing about it. Well, what happens? That word that was sown, that has the potential to change your life because you didn't understand it and didn't take measures or steps to understand it, Satan swooped right in, stole that from you.
Yeah. Right.
Your wayside ground. Your wayside ground. When something comes across your plate that you don't understand, that doesn't make sense in your mind, that's something different to you than how you were taught and raised, and that absolutely goes against everything you've been taught, and you just let it go, your wayside ground. Your wayside ground. It's not just the sown word that benefits you, it's the sown understood word. Because if you don't understand it, you can't benefit from it. Another area where this has happened a lot is in the area of giving. So many people have just rested on the laurels of the tithe and have never stepped over into the place of sowing where the harvest is at. And I'll teach that the tithe is different. Tithe is different than sowing, and years will go by, and I'll have people tell me, I still don't understand the difference. Well, you've been wayside ground the whole time, because ask somebody, and I've been teaching it about it. And so many people think, I'm so generous. I'm being blessed, and my tithe's going up. Tithing is not generosity. Tithing is obedience. Some people think, well, I make $1 million a year. I tithe $100,000. How generous am I? No, you're just as obedient as the person that made a dime in a year and brought a penny. Generosity is found in the offering or the giving on top of the tithe. And because people don't understand that, they say, you know how I know? Is because I used to do the finances at the Jamestown Church. And I used to see every single week. And if you do this, this is not a dig on you. I'm just telling you what I know from seeing it for years. I did it for about 3 or 4 years. And I'd see the same people every single week would give the same exact amount down to the penny. I mean, they would write a check, $110.21. And you knew that they had got their paycheck and hit times 0.10 and found the exact to the penny. And there would never be anything different. So what did I know as the accountant is that they're not getting in their heart, sow that penny amount. They're just sticking with their tithe and staying with their tithe, and they're missing out on the whole benefit of being a sower, and people don't do anything about it. And what are they? Wayside ground. Satan comes immediately, takes the word out of their heart. I don't understand that tithing and that giving. Well, do something about it. It's not enough to hear a guest minister or your pastor say something that you didn't understand and just leave it there. That's wayside ground. If I say anything that you don't understand, that doesn't make sense to you, that is so different than you've ever heard, you need to reach out and find out what is meant by that, or you're going to fall into that category and you will not bear fruit. You will not bear fruit. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 32 and verse 9. We're almost done. Psalm 32 and verse 9. I don't know if it's being different ground. I don't know if it's common sense. I don't know if my mind... One thing I'm learning that I have to remember is not everybody thinks like me. That was a great revelation when I realized that the world doesn't revolve around Mike Anderson. When you realize that about yourself, wasn't that a great relief? Because you were wondering, why isn't anything working out for me? I thought I was the only thing that mattered. But it's not true, is it? And so I got to remember that people don't think like me all the time. But for the life of me, I don't understand how somebody could hear their pastor say the benefits of something, how wonderful it is. And because you don't understand it, just, I don't want anything to do with that tongues business. I don't understand it. It's weird. In my mind, the way my mind works, I'm thinking, that's my pastor. They're the ones trying to help me. I would trust anything that they would say. They back everything up with the Bible. I don't understand it. So, Pastor, teach me. Yeah. Oh, man, I was always banging down the door of Pastor Michael in the beginning. Because, I mean, there's still a lot, way more I don't know than I do know. But at that time, there was way more I didn't know back then than I do now. And I just, what does this mean? What is that all about? That tithing business, that giving business, that praying in tongues business, this faith speaking business. What? Teach me. What is this? I need to know. Why would you want to let anything go that was given for you? Why would you want to leave any blessing behind? It's like the woman that came up in a Brother Hagin service. She couldn't hear out of her ear. And Brother Hagin ministered to her. And she started praising and crying that she could hear. And she's walking back like this to her seat. And Brother Hagin says, "Sister." Now, it was a miracle that she could hear him because she's walking away and she turned around perfect and heard him. He said, "Why?" He said, "What's going on with that hip there?" She said, "Well," she told him the problem that was going on. He said, "Well, why don't you come up again?" Now, here she had just been miraculously healed in her ear. And she said, "Oh, it's okay. I can live with that." Why would you leave? The healing anointing is there. If it can do the ears, it can do the hip. Right. But that's the way people are. Oh, just give me my little corner of Christianity. Don't ruffle my religious background. Why don't you want everything from God? Right. Why, just because it challenges your thinking, do we just leave it there? I mean, if we did that with everything in life, I mean, that normally what people aren't up on, they're down on.
Yeah.
Right? And we tend to stay away from things. But how many times has that not benefited you in life? Think about it, even with food. Yeah. Food that you just would not try. No. And then you finally try, like, oh, that's really good, right? Or things you wouldn't do in life. Roller coasters. I'm the guy, I'll hold the bags. You ain't going to get me on one of those. And now I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that I did, because I love them. And you might still not love them, but I'm just using examples of what are things in life. If we just, well, I don't understand that. That's just not for me. I'm just not... what we might be missing out on, right?
Oh,
praise the Lord. Psalm 32 and verse 9 says this. Excuse me. Yeah, this is really, really encouraging here. This, it says, "Be not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you." What's he saying? To get the mule and the horse to go where you want to go, you gotta drag it around. Because they don't understand, they don't get, and I'll tell you, that's the way it is with Christians. I gotta try to drag people into blessing. Gotta try to drag people and force people into things of God, because they don't understand. Why would you want to be like a horse or a mule that doesn't have understanding? It has to be forced to go somewhere, prodded and poked to go somewhere. You'd think people are just fighting blessings. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto" what? "Understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and you lift up your voice for understanding." Now look at this. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures." Now think about that in terms of, have you ever misplaced money? I mean, even if it's like a $5 bill, doesn't it just make you mad when you can't find it? I mean, let alone a 20 or a 50 or a 100. Doesn't it just, to me, it irks me to no end. To know I had that money, where did it go? And what do? You tear the house up. The cushions come off. The car gets torn apart. The purse gets emptied. The pockets get ripped apart. You're looking everywhere through the washer and dryer for that money. You're seeking for that thing because it's important to you. Yet the Bible says that's the way we should be when it comes to understanding the Word of God. If we don't understand it, we don't leave it at a place of understanding. We seek for it like it's a precious treasure. Yeah, go to the person that knows, praise God. Go after it, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Proverbs 14 and verse 33. Understanding. It's not okay to not know. Ignorance is not bliss. Oh, ignorance is bliss. It's better I don't know. Ignorance is dangerous.
Yeah.
Proverbs 14 and verse 33. Now, before I say this, don't turn there, but you can write this down. In Proverbs 8 and verse 11, it says that wisdom is better than rubies. Yeah. Or wisdom would be better than a treasure. And it says wisdom, so wisdom, which the Bible says is better than rubies, wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom, which is better than rubies, because wisdom can lead you into so many things, praise God, rests in the one of the heart who has understanding. So it's not okay to hear something and just not understand it and to walk away saying, I just rather not know. It's uncomfortable to me. It's not something I've been trained to know. It's different. It's not okay. It's okay if you want to be wayside ground, but that's the way Satan can come in and snatch that word up. See, here's what, if you understand that the word is powerful and that the word will change you, and that if you'll just come to grips that you don't know everything in the Word, and that some things are going to be unfamiliar to you. But because you have settled it in your heart before that happens, what do I mean? When that happens, when you're reading it, when it's sown into your life. If you've already settled the fact in your heart that the Word is powerful, and it's only trying to change me for good and increase me, when something comes across your plate, in a service, in your personal meditation with the Lord, in a guest minister meeting that you don't understand, that is foreign to you, that seems crazy and out of this world because you've already settled it in your heart that the Word will change you, it won't frighten you, it won't scare you, and it won't cause you to push back. It'll cause you to embrace that. Say, yes, it's different. Yes, I don't get it, but I need to know. Because the Word, I've already settled it. The Word's trying to increase me. Amen. Hallelujah is right. Glory to God. So let's not be in the ones that don't have understanding. From now on, I give you my invitation right now. I invite the church. Anything that I preach, anything that you hear on your own, anything at a guest minister meeting that is said that you don't understand, I give you the invitation to ask. And if I can help you, I'll help you. And if I can't, I'll find somebody who can. Praise God. Don't stay in the wayside ground anymore after today. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the word. Father, first of all, we understand the importance of the sown word. Lord, I'm preaching to the choir about that. But Lord, faith comes by hearing. It's good to solidify those things in our heart. And Father, we can always do better and being more faithful to come to our own church and different meetings and gifts that you've given us. So Father, I pray that we all would come to that revelation and that understanding of the importance of availing ourselves to that. But also, Father, we know now how to stay out of being wayside ground. So, Father, we're going to cry after wisdom. We're going to cry after and seek understanding like we're searching for precious jewels, Father God. Because we know if we're wayside ground, we will not produce fruit. We will not bear fruit. And we'll be in that 75% non-fruit-bearing category. So, Father, help us. Lord, I pray for every single person here tonight that you would open the eyes of their understanding, Father. That you would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. That the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling. Father, that they would know the riches of your glory and the inheritance of the saints. And Father, that they would know the exceeding greatness of your power towards them who believe, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenlies. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. Father, I pray that they would know that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for the blessings. If you're listening to this by live stream, I know everybody in here is born again. If you're listening to this by an archive in the future, and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if tonight were my last night on earth. Well, to be qualified or to be a candidate for heaven, you have to believe that Jesus came to the earth. You have to believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again. And you have to want to accept him into your life. If you meet those standards and those qualifications, then you are a candidate for heaven. And all you have left to do is to call on the name of the Lord, which is, Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again, and I ask him into my heart. And if you do that, the Bible says he'll save you. And not only will you have heaven as your eternal destination, but you will have the opportunity to become a child of God and to learn all the wonderful things that He has for you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's an email on that website. Email me and we'll get you hooked up into a good Bible teaching church with a pastor who will sow the word into your life, and increase will be the result. Let's just thank God for what we've received tonight. You know, it's rude if grandma or mama cooks a wonderful Thanksgiving meal and you eat it and you partake of it and then you get up from the table and you never said thank you. You never appreciated her. Well, let's thank God for what He's given us tonight. Thank you for the word. Father, we want to be more grateful. We want to be more thankful. I'm amazed at people. You do something nice for them or say something nice to them and just no response, no thank you. We don't want to be that way, Father. Thank you. Thank you for what we've received tonight. It's precious unto us, Father. It's valuable unto us, Father. And if there's anything that you want to do, Father, in this service, Lord, we thank you for the ministry time before service that we have. If there's anything that you want to do, Father, we want to be faithful to obey. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for coming out. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we'll be right back at it. You are dismissed.